33. Let's all stand and sing The Lily of the Valley. Welcome this morning, getting ready to start our camp meeting off today, and we'd like to start off with some prayer. So we're going to ask all the men that are able to, we're going to come get around the altar the best we can this morning. Ms. McKenzie's going to play for us. I'm going to ask Brother McFadden if he'd come up here and actually lead us in prayer this morning. Good to have Brother McFadden with us today. And so she's going to play, and he'll lead us in prayer. And let's pray that God would be pleased with everything that's said and done this week. Pray for the preachers, the singers, that God would give us wisdom. And we want Christ to be magnified. You can be seated there, those that are left in the pews, to pray. Pray that God will come be with us, and he'll be pleased with everything that's said and done. Brother McFadden, if you would, come lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that I can call you Father. I thank you for your blood that was shed so I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for your saving power, your keeping power. And Lord, you watch over us and you keep us safe and you watch and care for us. Thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to all be here this morning safely. Thank you, Lord, and we give you the glory for that. We pray, Lord, for the preachers, Lord, that's going to be bringing the Word of God. We pray you give them liberty, Lord Jesus, and help them, Lord. And what we need, and God, that I might listen, pay attention, and Lord Jesus, apply what I hear, Lord, I might be a better servant for you. Please direct the pastor, Lord, here, and bless this church family, Lord, and the work they do together. And we thank you, Lord, for your gentleness and your kindness and your long-suffering to us. And Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, this will be the morning when they trust you as their Lord and Savior. Bless in the Sunday school time, Lord. You get the glory and the honor and the preaching time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
They say I have my Father's disposition, and I guess that's the way it should be. I sing like my mother, I smile like my brother, my brothers look just like me. But what do they see when they compare me to my heavenly Father above?
Savior, take after my master, the one that I love. Do I shine with his nature? Is it easy to see Jesus in me? Do I favor my Savior? He raised me to walk in his likeness, to follow in the footsteps of the Son, to be lowly and meek, to turn the other cheek, unconditionally love everyone. May God rearrange the things that must change to cause me to be like my Lord. Do I favor my Savior, take after my master, the one that I love? Do I shine with his nature? Do I favor my Savior, take after my master, the one that I love? Do I shine with his nature? Is it easy to see Jesus in me? Do I favor my Savior? Do I favor my Savior? My home may not look like a castle. My clothes may be lacking in style. And if you come sit at my table, a meager supply you might find. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. To me, I have everything, all that I need, all that I need, treasures unseen. God made the world filled with beauty. Everything, all that I need,
We have Christ. We have everything that we need.
Amen.
So thankful to be here this morning. We'll have a few announcements for our church and things like that that we'll give a little bit later on in the service. But we are thankful that you're all here this morning for camp meeting, getting us started off. Brother Kevin Mann is going to come get ready for us this morning. I appreciate him coming. He's the man that put out the first mentioned Bible, and that thing's a blessing. And something happened. I hope Brother Nick Russell's not listening. But I ordered Brother Nick a first mention Bible, leather bound, for his ordination service. And Brother Kevin Mann personally signed it to me when he sent it, when I bought it. And so I kept it. And I gave him my very used copies that I used quite a bit of the paperback ones that came in two sections. And he'll never know, I hope. I got it. I said, man, this is nice. And I said, I wish I had one. And I was flipping through it, and he put my name in there. And from Kevin Mann, I said, well, praise the Lord. I got to keep it now. So I'm thankful for Brother Kevin, his testimony, the work he's put into this. And I appreciate him being here. He will set up a table this week at camp meeting, as well as some of our other missionaries that will be here this week. We'll set those up at the Nazarene Church. We'll give more announcements along those lines here in just a little bit. But I appreciate Brother Kevin Mann being here. And as always at our church, if you hear something you like, say amen. If you hear something you don't like, say oh me, but say something. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. We're not a dead church. Amen. I don't want to be a dead church. All right, Brother Kevin, you come.
Thank you, preacher. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Get a little about my voice. I lost my voice 30 years ago. I was in full-time evangelism. And I would get laryngitis occasionally, like any preacher or singer would. And I'd rest my voice for a few days, and then it would come back. I would strain it again, and it would leave, and then it would come back again. Well, 30 years ago, I left. It hadn't come back yet. And I was a full-time gospel singer. I had 5 gospel albums, traveled and sang all over the Southeast United States. And preached in youth revivals, youth camps, and things like that. So my voice was really my identity, is who I was, because that's where I got all my acceptance. That's where I got all my accolades. That's where I got my pats on the back. Kevin, what a great singer you are. What a great voice you have. And so when I lost my voice, I literally lost my identity. And I got mad at God. I thought that God had dealt something to me that I did not deserve. I said, Lord, I'm a full-time evangelist. Lord, I'm a gospel singer. Lord, I go soul winning every week, and I get my money, and Lord, I'm faithful. And I just felt like the Lord had given me something I didn't deserve. So I got mad at God. And, you know, the Lord's not in any hurry for you to get right with Him. And so for about 10 years, I wallowed around in that self-love and self-pity. What was me? Why did I have to lose my voice? Why could somebody else lose their voice? And so I wallowed around in that self-pity for a while. And that what was me attitude, that's all that is self-love and self-pity. We think that we love ourselves, and so we don't want anything bad to happen to us. So when something bad happens to us, we say, why me, Lord? That's the first question we ask, Lord, why? And so about 10 years, the Lord allowed me to wallow around in that self-love. And then He started bringing me back to Himself like He always do. He's always faithful to bring us back to Himself. Now, He'll let you run as far as you want to run. He's in no hurry for you to get right. But one of these days, you will come to the end of yourself. And you'll be looking up back to God.
Amen.
And so the Lord started drawing me back to Himself and began teaching me anew who I was in Christ. See, my identity was based on Kevin and what he was doing. And so when the time came that I could no longer do that, then I had a travesty and a problem in my life. And listen, folks, a tragedy is no respect of persons. I mean, we can go through this room, and everybody can stand up and say, this is what happened, this is what happened, and this is what happened. And maybe you got mad at God, maybe you didn't. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am. But I got mad at God, but He started drawing me back. He wounds us in salvation. He wounds us in sanctification. He wounds us in service. All of those things He has called. constantly wooing us. And so for the next 10 years after he brought me back to himself, I never left the old King James Bible, but I just didn't love it. You know, when you get crossways with your spouse, you love her, but you don't like her sometimes. You don't like her. And same with you ladies. You love the rascal, but sometimes you just don't like him. Well, I love the old Bible. I just didn't like it. And so I still took it to church. Nothing changed on the outside. I still dressed like a Christian. I still went soul winning. I still gave my money. Everything was right on the outside. But on the inside was something very dark and something very hurtful. And it was like a cancer that was eating me alive. And that's called bitterness.
Yeah.
I got bitter at God because of what had happened. You know, it's okay to ask God why.
Right, Richard.
Because remember, Jesus said on the cross, my God, why?
Yeah.
But it's not okay to impute something to God that is wicked or evil concerning what He brings into your life. And so God started teaching me again, fresh and new, who I was. And that my identity is not in what I do.
Right.
My identity is in who I am. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel, but that's not my primary identity. Because one of these days, my preaching ability is going to stop. My being a daddy is not my primary identity. Because one day, my daddying might stop. My primary identity is not as a husband or a grandfather or any of those things. Those are good things. And my primary identity is not being a Baptist, which I think you ought to be a Baptist. My primary identity is based on what God says I am. Not what other people think about me, or not what I think about myself. But my identity, our identity is based on what God said. That will never change. What I think about myself will change. What you think about me will change. And what happens and comes in and out of my life will change. But God's Word will never change. What He said about you will stand. And when I'm talking about the Word of God, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Anything else is a Catholic counterfeit.
Right.
Amen, Brother Kevin. And so the Lord started, I started going back through this book. I got to love this book again. I read this book once a month for the next 10 years. I couldn't preach. I didn't think I could preach anymore. I surely couldn't sing anymore. I couldn't do any albums, things like that. I couldn't do what I used to do, but I could do something. So I went through this old book once a month. And I would make copious notes and lists about my identity in Christ and what God says my identity is. And I would make lists and make notes and all those things, and all of my books and my study Bible and all that stuff is a result of the years that I spent going through this Bible once a month. Now, that doesn't make me a better Christian than you. It makes me more responsible probably than you. But as the Lord started bringing me back to Himself, He taught me who I was.
Amen, preacher.
If your identity is based on your musical abilities, one of these days you're not going to be able to sing or play anymore. And then you're going to be devastated. Listen, the only thing that's going to make it through the graveyard is what God says about you.
Amen, preacher.
What a preacher says about me doesn't matter. Only what God says about me matters. And we can take what God says to the bank. Let me show you some identities in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I was going to do something completely different, but I feel like the Lord wants me to go this direction. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Maybe somebody can be helped. Maybe somebody will get some help out of my testimony. Listen, that was a hard place. It was a dark place in my life. For those 10 years that I was running from God and angry at God and bitter at God, that was a rough place. And listen, nuggets are never found laying out on top of the ground.
Right.
Very seldom will you find a nugget on the ground. Where do you find nuggets? You have to go someplace dark and deep was that was my, losing my identity and who I was. And so as I go through the Bible, the Lord would show me these different identities in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And he says in verse number 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous," that's the lost people, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Now, if you look at that word, that O-R-S on the end of that word, is literally, it's their identity. It's not the sin of fornication. It's that they are a fornicator. That is their identity. That is who they are. And you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Adam, then what you do is your identity. If you're in Christ, then what He does for you is your identity. So it says here, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters," that E-R-S is the person, "nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now look here. Paul said, here's some identities of the lost people. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are called adulterers. They are called effeminate. They are called all these things because they have not a true identity. But look at this verse. "And such were some of you." Such were some of you. That W-E-R-E is a big word. Such were some of you. Says some of you were adulterers. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were idolaters. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I say praise His holy name. I say bless His name forever. Such were some of you, but that's a big word. But you are washed. I say bless His holy name. Such were some of you. That reminds me, I love the little illustration of the caterpillar. You're all familiar with that. The little caterpillar's on the ground, and he's in the dirt, and he's in the mud, and he's in the wet leaves, and he's just having a great caterpillar time. You know, caterpillars have a good time, you know. And they just crawl around, they just have a great time. And these little caterpillars get together, and they just enjoy one another. They enjoy the dirt, they enjoy all that. But one day, one of these little caterpillars, they're attracted to a plant, to a tree. And that little caterpillar crawls up on that tree, and he is literally metamorphosized. He has changed from what he is to something brand new. When he comes out of that cocoon, he is no longer a caterpillar. He is now a butterfly. One day, this old caterpillar was attracted to a tree. And I crawled up on that tree.
Yes.
And I died with the one that was on that tree. And I was buried with the one that was on that tree. And I was raised from the dead with the one that was on that tree. And I've never been the same since. Such were some of you. But you've been washed and sanctified and justified. And a little butterfly comes out of that cocoon, and now he is a brand new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now he's up enjoying the things of God, enjoying a different level. See, when he was a caterpillar, he couldn't get off the ground. He was ground bound. But now as a butterfly, things are different. Now he can float around. Now he can enjoy the creation of God. Now he can go as high as he wants to go, and he can fly. I mean, he's got a brand new life. But one day this little butterfly flies down close to the ground, and he sees some of his old caterpillar buddies. And boy, they're just having a great time. I mean, you know, caterpillars have a great time. You know that, don't you? And they were just wet and dirty and in the mud and in the leaves. And the little butterfly looks down there and he sees them and he lights down there. And he starts trying to do caterpillar stuff. And he gets his wings dirty and he gets his wings wet and he gets his, he gets his feet dirty, and he's not supposed to be down there, but he's down there with the caterpillars, but he gets dirty and nasty. And listen, he can do caterpillar stuff, but he has to do it as a butterfly.
Right, preacher.
He can never be a caterpillar again.
Right.
Butterfly. You can do caterpillar stuff, but you have to do it as a butterfly.
Yeah, preacher, that's good.
You have no business down there.
Right.
Get up to where you belong. Get up to where God wants you to be. God wants you above the ground. God wants you in the heavens. God wants you living a different life, a victorious life, if you would. It's such worrisome.
Amen, preacher, that's good.
But you're washed.
Yeah.
You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
I say bless His name.
Yes, sir.
Oh, butterflies. Butterflies trying to be caterpillars. It'll never work. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. You'll always stick out. You're down there doing caterpillar stuff. People look at you. Those caterpillars look at you and say, you don't belong here. Now you can enjoy some of those things for a season, but you can never be a caterpillar again.
Right.
And you can never be happy doing those things. So, such were some of you.
Yes.
But you are washed.
Amen.
You're sanctified.
Amen.
You're justified.
Wonderful.
Now, I told you that my identity was based on what I was doing. I was a singer. And, people... Brother Kevin, that was a great song. That was a great voice and all that stuff. And I began to believe him. See, I began to take the glory that God wanted for myself. And God will not share His glory with anybody. If you've got an ability, if you've got a talent, then somebody comments on that talent. Just always say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. He gave it to me. It's His. And so when I lost my voice, I got mad, got angry at God, got bitter at God, and it went on and on and on. But the Lord is so faithful.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, whenever I can get victory over this thing, let me tell you what happened. And we all have tragedies, but how did I get victory over this? And I was able to go to the Lord and look Him in the face and say, Lord, thank you.
That's good, preacher.
For this tragedy. Thank you for this tragedy. This is a gift from God to Kevin. This is what God gave me as a gift. I never would have stopped long enough to do any of the stuff that I've done had I not lost my voice. Because I was happy singing. I was happy preaching. I was happy just going around and just doing concerts and the likes and the accolades. I was happy with that. But God will not share His glory with anybody. Now let me show you. Can I show you what God says about you, what your true identity is?
Yes,
look at 1 John with me, please. 1 John chapter 3. Now, folks, the only identity that's going to make it through the graveyard is what God says about you.
Amen. Right.
Me being a preacher is not going to make it through the graveyard. Me being an evangelist is not going to make it through the graveyard.
Yeah.
Me being a daddy or a granddad or a pastor or a teacher. None of that is going to make it through the graveyard.
Right.
The only thing that's going to make it through the graveyard is what did God say?
Right.
That will make it through the graveyard. Now look, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called Baptists. Now is that what your Bible says?
Yes, sir.
That we should be called Baptists. That we should be called Methodist, that we should be called pastor, or evangelist, or missionary, or teacher. What does God say your identity is? What God says that your identity is the only thing that matters. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that's going to make it through the graveyard. What does God say? God says, you're a child of mine. You're a son of God. That will never change. If you're in Christ, that will never change. You're either in Adam lost or you're in Christ saved. And this is your identity. The son of God. persecuted, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. We don't have to wait to get there. Right? We can enjoy that butterfly life. Right now. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yes,
I say, bless his name.
Yes.
Listen, God, his mercies are new every morning.
Yes, sir.
His grace and his mercies are just, they come wave upon wave, load upon load. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know the Holy Ghost well enough to know that he probably has already placed his finger on something. A sore spot in your life,
yeah,
in your heart. Something that you might not, that might, nobody else might not know about. But you and the Lord.
Right.
But maybe he's placed his finger on that. He said, there's the spot. That's it right there. That you need to yield that to me. That's a tender spot in your heart. That's going to, if you're not careful, going to fester and turn into bitterness, full-grown bitterness. You know, roots of a plant, they grow down, way down deep. Very few roots grow out on the ground. Some do, but very few. And so those roots go way down and nobody can see it. But you and God. But he lets you know that there's something there that's just not quite right. And maybe you've just got a little bit of a little bit of anger issue with God. Now see, we think that we're angry with the brethren. We're not angry with the brethren. We get angry at God.
Right.
When it all goes back, it goes back to God. Beloved, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. The book of Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness. And if that root takes hold and it springs up, then it'll not only hurt your life, but it'll hurt many people around you. Now, like I said earlier, everything on the outside looked the same. I still went to church. You still might be going to church. I still went knocking doors. You still might be knocking doors. I still gave my money. You still might be giving your money. I mean, you might be on the outside. Everything looked good. But on the inside, what's going on the inside? Is there a bitterness? Is there a dark place? Is there a place that you need to deal with God about? Listen, he loves you too much to allow you to go on in your self-love and self-pity. Can you give your tragedy to God? Say, Lord, thank you. I have people all over the country praying, Brother Kevin, we're praying that God will give you your voice back. I tell them, please don't. Please don't. This is a gift from God. This is a gift from God. God gave me this. And I accept it, and I thank him, and I bless his holy name for it. But I thank him more than that for him bringing me back to himself and not allowing me to wall around in my self-love and my self-pity. God bless you. Let's stand, please, if you would. You might need to do business with God. There might be something in your life that nobody knows about but you and God. Well, God wants you to deal with that right now. Because he knows you can never have victory over it until you acknowledge his hand in your life. He put that there. There's a verse in Psalm 119:71 that says, it was good that I had been afflicted so that I might learn thy statutes. God brings things into our lives so that we can learn about him. We can trust him. Where are you at this morning? Are you in Christ or are you in Adam? Is your identity based on what you're doing or what God says about you? Won't you come? Ask God to deal with your heart, deal with your life. Such were some of you. Butterfly, are you down on the ground? Butterfly, are you down there doing what caterpillars do? You need to get up from there. You'll never be happy down there. You'll just get your wings nasty and your feet nasty. You'll get wet and dirty. You'll never be happy on the ground with the caterpillars. You can no longer be one of those. Give your heart, your life to Christ.
May their head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. There's still some praying. Start to the meeting, giving us a good picture of who we are and who He is and who we ought to be in Him, who we ought to be in Christ. And man, what a testimony. I appreciate Brother Kevin obeying the Lord this morning, and appreciate any preacher that's willing to change the message they came prepared with to obey what God has. Amen. And I got a Bible question for Brother Kevin. There's a here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it lists all these things that somebody that's not saved, that's what they are. And over in Galatians chapter 5, it has a similar list. But it doesn't say that those people, the saved people in Galatians 5, are those things. But it says that a saved person is capable of doing those things. It's a great Bible doctrine of spiritual circumcision. We get into some of this about the separation of the soul and spirit and the body separating from each other. That whatever you do after you're saved, that's not who you are anymore. But a saved person is capable of committing fornication. And so the list in Galatians chapter 5 is very similar to this one. But there's a couple that are not in Galatians 5 that are in 1 Corinthians 6. And one of them is effeminate. So can I say that if there's a effeminate preacher, that he's probably not saved based off of these verses? That's not even over there. There's not even a clause for effeminate for a saved man. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, kill it. I was just asking a question. Amen. Men ought to be men. Ladies ought to be ladies. Thank God for the message. All right, they're going to sing for us, and as soon as they're finished, Brother Doug Seeley's going to come preach to us.
It's the light on my path that shows which way to go. It guides me in the right way in times when I don't know. It's perfect and inspired and will never lose its power. It's been preserved through all days and will never pass away. God, I thank You for Your Word, for how it's changed my life. It's a place where I find refuge through life's toils and strife. If I lose my way and get off track, the light will always lead me back. God, I thank You for Your Word. It lifts me up when I'm down, when my spirit's low. I can turn to it for encouragement, and it helps me to grow. It's perfect and inspired, and will never lose its power. It's been preserved through all days and will never pass away. God, I thank You for Your Word, for how it's changed my life. It's a place where I find refuge through life's toils and strife. If I lose my way and get off track, the light will always lead me back. God, I thank you for your word. It's written on the pages that your son died for me.
Amen.
So I can live forever.
Live.
God, I thank you for your word, for how it's changed my life. It's the place where I find refuge through life's toils and strife. If I lose my way and get off track, the light will always lead me back. God, I thank you for your word. If I lose my way and get off track, the light will always lead me back. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your
word. Amen. Green light's always good. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Good to be back at White Oak and see Amen. Familiar faces and see friends. Amen.
Amen.
And we were hoping, we weren't that far away back when the Thren family was with you for your revival meeting, and we were hoping to come, but we had a little grandbaby that came just about a week before, and so my wife wasn't going anywhere. That's all I'll say about that, okay? And but I hope you had a good meeting, and looking forward to this week and what God has for us. And
Amen.
It's been good already. Man, what a great message to start off with. And just very needed, brother. Thank you very much. We will all get to places in life where you're trying to serve the Lord and you think you're serving God. And then something happens, and it's just like he said, Lord, what's going on? Why am I going through this? Why are you taking me this way? And brother, thank you. Just a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter 1 this morning, I want to preach something. I kind of been wrestling with this. I had a couple other messages I wanted to preach, and the Lord just kept kind of bringing me back to this one. And I hope this morning as we turn to the book of Jonah that you don't just tune me out right away. Amen. Allies, it's a children's story, and we all know the story, amen? Because there's a lot of things in here that we can learn from this. And it's not just for kids, amen? It's for adults too, praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1, and we're just going to read verses 1 to 3. Jonah chapter number 1, I'll just give you a second, I hear pages still turning. It's a small book, it's easy to go right by it, amen? Amen. Jonah chapter number 1. Look at my time. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, God, for what we've already heard from the man of God. And Lord, giving him a message that, Lord, I believe every person here needed to hear this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us not to be quick to forget it and, Lord, to apply it to our lives. Lord, again, as we look at your word, I pray that you would just speak this morning, Lord, that you'd settle our hearts and our minds. I know we've got a busy week ahead and a lot coming and a lot we want to see you do. But Lord, may we not just in the next few moments miss your voice. Father, help me as I preach. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, just cover me in your blood. And Lord, fill me with your spirit. Guide my words and my thoughts, I pray this morning. Lord, help those that are listening, Father, simply to hear, not from a man, not from a preacher, but from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God. Lord, we ask that You'll do a work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you a few observations this morning. And I only read the first three verses because we just don't have time to get into all the things that we can see here today. But the Bible says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." I was thinking about that driving over this morning, and I probably shouldn't have, but I pulled out my phone quick and I typed in, "Now the word of the Lord came." And that's mentioned in the Bible over 110 times. It says that the word of the Lord came to somebody. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. It came to Jehu. There were several kings of Israel. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto. And we can't overlook that all the times that the Bible says the word of the Lord came to an individual. See, we have a God that communicates with His creation. We have a God that wants to speak to us as mankind and as His children and as His sons, amen, as we just heard. And God is always speaking. The truth is, God will speak and we will hear Him if we're listening.
Right.
But I believe the problem many times is God is trying to talk to us. God is trying to speak to us. And we're either not listening, or probably in the world today in which we live, we've just got so much going on and so many things captivating our attention, amen, that we're not in a position where we can hear from God. But it says the word of the Lord came. You know, Jonah had a great responsibility here. When he hears the word of God, and I don't know how God spoke to him. I don't know if it was through a preacher, if he had a vision, if he had a dream, how exactly God did it. But the word of the Lord, without a doubt, came unto Jonah. And Jonah is responsible now for what he has heard God say to him. He is responsible for how and what God has spoken to him. And everyone in the Bible that it mentions that the word of the Lord came to, what a great responsibility.
Right.
But you know, as I thought about that, and it's an amazing thing to think that God spoke to him through His word, how many more times in the day and age in which we live, we have the word of God in our hands.
Yeah.
And I hope we open it up every day and look at it and at least read a few verses, amen. How much more responsibility do we have? How many more opportunities do we have to hear from the Lord and have the word of the Lord be spoken or shown or made known unto us? Every time you open this book, it is an opportunity for God to speak directly to you. Every time you sin under, and in my life, how many thousands of times have I sat under the preaching of the Word of God and the preaching from a man of God, and many times God has spoken to me, but how many times have I maybe sat there and thought I was listening, but the truth is I missed what God had to say to me. But how many more opportunities have I had? This is just one time in Jonah's life. Just one time it says the word of the Lord came to him. Now, I'm sure there were others. But having the word of God in my possession every day, I truly believe that I and we have had many more opportunities to have our God speak directly to us. And I believe, in all honesty, just as Jonah heard God that day, and he heard the voice of God, he heard the instructions of God, that many more times than Jonah, we have opened the Word of God, or we have sat under the preaching of God's Word, and we've heard His instruction. We've heard the direction. We've heard Him speak. We've heard His voice. And we have even a greater responsibility. We have a responsibility to hear. When you are confronted with what God says, when you hear, "Thus saith the Lord," you have a responsibility to respond.
Yes, sir.
And the truth is, every time we hear it, we do respond. Because to do nothing is to respond. That
is a response. And sadly, many times when the Word of God is read or the Word of God is preached, that is the response of the majority. We hear what God says. We know what God says. We even know what God says to us. I'm not even talking about when we say, well, that's a great message for Brother so-and-so. But when God speaks to us, many times our response is nothing. How many times has that been the response? And we need to respond. We need to respond right away. You know, some think, well, I can take a little time. But most, when they do that, they've already made up their mind what they're going to do. And what they're going to do is just wait long enough till that voice softens and that voice silenced so they don't have to feel like they have to do anything about what they heard. We need to hear. When God doesn't speak just for the sake of speaking. He's not like some of you, amen, who just talk for the sake of talking. There's some people, they can just go all day and talk about anything and everything. And the truth is, they don't even really know anything about what they're talking about. They just like to talk, amen, and like to speak. God's not like that. When God says something, it's important. When God speaks, He has a reason. He's speaking. He wants it to accomplish something. And we need to hear and listen. We need to respond in faith. We need to respond in obedience. We need to trust what God says. We need to obey His Word, even if our flesh does not want to. Notice what He says to Jonah. The Word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, arise. Well, that's good instruction. Amen. That word arise, I think of that. I think about, you know, getting up in the morning and waking up. And we used to have to go in and stir our kids in the morning and wake them up to do things. Thank God now they're all at the age where, you know, they can set an alarm or whatever and get up on their own. And we rarely have to do that anymore. But you know what God's doing? He's trying to stir Jonah up. He says, hey, man, arise. Obviously, Jonah was just off sitting somewhere. Wasn't doing anything. Sounds like the average independent Baptist today, amen? Just off doing their own thing, but not really anything. And they need to be stirred up. They need to be woken up, amen? God wakes them up and stirs them up. Stop laying. Stop sitting. Stop standing. Arise, amen? It's time to get up and get off the sidelines. And we need Christians today that will arise, amen? And stop just sitting around and sitting through the services and sitting in church. Go out into the world and do something with what they've heard. Man, there ought to be enough of us. I know we're few and far between these days, but there still ought to be enough of a remnant to make a difference in the world in which we live. There's enough people sitting in here this morning that could make a difference in Warrior, Alabama. If you would just arise, if you'd get up, if you'd wake up, if you'd get stirred up, if you'd hear what God tells you to do, and in faith and obedience, go out and do it. Amen. Got to hear. You got to get up. You got to arise. Amen. We need some that aren't content just to sit. Get up means to stand up. We could use some Christians today that would just start standing up for some things. Amen. We've gotten silent. We've lost our boldness. There's so much sin and filth out there, things that we used to stand against. And we used to, you know, listen, we used to hold up signs, you know, against abortion and all that stuff. Nobody does anything anymore. I'm not telling you what you ought to do, but it's nice every once in a while, brother, when you see someone standing up against something. Amen? And we just, well, that's just the world in which we live. We live in dark times. All the world's just wicked. So we just sit around and watch it go to hell. Amen? We need to arise. We need to get up. We need to be stirred up. We need to take a stand. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. He's soldiers of the cross. Where are God's soldiers today? A soldier has to go out and fight and battle. A soldier has to be involved daily in training so he's equipped when the battle comes. Do we not want to put in any effort? Do we not want to get dirty? Do we not want to get tired? Yeah. We're supposed to be soldiers, amen? He says, Jonah, arise. Go. Stand up. Get up. Do something. Hey, stop trying to hide what you are.
Yeah.
Christian, stop trying to blend in with the world. We're so afraid to stand out. You hear someone take the Lord's name in vain. We're afraid to say anything. You know, we go into the restaurant, we whisper our prayer. Look around, make sure no one's looking. Pray for our meal. Do you want to do it boldly? Amen. Take a stand. Let yourself be identified. Amen?
Amen.
We walked into a Burger King last night on the way here in Bruton, Alabama. Amen. We walked in there and I thought, man, we're in the wrong place. We just kind of didn't fit in, if you know what I mean. And there was this little black girl behind the counter, and she looked right at me. She said, "You military?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I've killed a few people, but not for hire." And she just she actually looked at me, and she laughed a little. And then my son was wearing a shirt, I think it says, "I stand with Israel." And she's taking her order. She looked at him. She said, "What church you go to?" That's all he had on. How'd she know we were in a church? He said, "Well, we go to a church in Florida right now." And she said, "Oh, okay." So she took our order, and it rung up. I didn't think it was right. It seemed low. And my son was like, "Well, we wanted the meal, not just the burger." She's like, "That's all right. The drink and the fries are on me." And she's like, I'm gonna give you a discount, too." But she knocked another couple dollars off. And my wife and my other daughter, they were at Taco Bell. Amen. They're not saved. And but the other four of us, it was less than $20. We got our meals and fries and drinks, amen. And but you know, I guess she just saw something different. We ought to look different, amen. We ought to act different. There ought to be a difference in our talents, amen. I have to work on that because sometimes I get around people and I don't get in a good mood, amen. I'd rather be away from people, off by myself, and not driving behind somebody slow on the road or somebody that's taking too long in the checkout line. Amen? And I have to be careful of my countenance, because your countenance will tell a lot.
Right.
And if Christ is in us, amen, there ought to be a little bit something different coming out of us. We ought to take a stand. We need to identify as soldiers of the Lord. We sing the song, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King?" Amen. Oh, we don't sit idly by. Don't be a spectator. There ought to be something in you that wants to get up and stand up and be involved in the work of the Lord. He said, "Arise," and then he said, "Go." You know what? Go means you've got to start moving. You can't go somewhere and stay where you are. You've got to move. He said, "Arise and go." And that also means that there's a direction.
Right.
You know what God said? He said, "Go to Nineveh." Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Jonah knew exactly where God wanted him to go.
Right.
You know, I think we make excuses sometimes, preacher. As Christians, we say, "Well, I'm just not sure what God wants me to do." I think the truth is, many times we know what God wants us to do. We're just too afraid, or we don't have the faith, or we just don't want to do the thing that God is telling us to do. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Of all the places in the world, Jonah knew exactly where he was supposed to go. And the Bible says in the verses we read, he rose up to flee from to Tarshish. That's not where God said. And you look in the Bible and all that, they say it was the opposite direction of where God told him to go.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter. The truth is, if you don't go where God tells you to go, wherever you go is the wrong place.
Right.
Wherever you go is going to get you into trouble.
Right.
Wherever you go, if it's not where God told you to go, it's not going to end up the way you think it will. He said, "Go to Nineveh." He knew that direction. God told him exactly what to do. He said, "Go there and cry against it. Their wickedness has come up before me. Go to Nineveh and preach." And it was an urgent matter. If those people didn't repent, God was going to destroy them. The truth is, it's no different in our world. If your neighbor doesn't turn from their sin and repent, they will die and spend eternity in hell and face the judgment of God. And if you don't arise and go, who will go to them.
Amen.
The people that you work with. You say, well, God isn't, you know, I want to serve the Lord and God's not giving me any direction. What are you doing to those He's put right around you? Those that you work with every day. Do they even know you're a Christian? Do they even know you go to church? Have you ever even invited them to an Easter service or a Christmas service? Some of the easiest times in the world to get somebody to come to church with you?
Well,
do they even know? Have they ever gotten a gospel tract?
Amen.
We went to Canada and it wasn't vastly populated. We were in a village, the village of Harvey Station. It's called a station, amen, where the train would go through. At less than 400 people, and I got there and I thought, I can't knock on doors every day. There's not enough doors. And Lord, how do I do this? We had to figure it out. I just started going to my neighbors one at a time.
Yeah.
And meeting them and talking to them and getting to know them. And it wasn't always giving them a tract or inviting them to church. Sometimes I just stopped in to say, hey, and tried to build a relationship. But we went up and down those streets. And when I wasn't there that long ago driving through, I thought about all these people that we invited to church and we gave the gospel to. And listen, can you say that?
Well,
you live on a road with a whole neighborhood of people around you. You ever met them? You ever invited them to church?
Yeah.
Listen, if you want somewhere to go, there's places to go. Amen?
Amen?
Right here in this town, in this community. Jonah knew exactly where God wanted him to go, what He wanted him to do. The world doesn't need professional speakers. It needs preachers. It needs those. It needs Christians that will go out and warn others about their sin, who will sound the alarm, who will do it with some urgency, because people are going to face the judgment of God when they leave this life. People will face the fires of hell if they don't get saved. God gives us a command to go as His church into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we can't go into all the world if we can't go here. It's got to start here. Verse number 2, you know, Jonah, he wasn't confused. He knew what God wanted him to do. How God wanted him to do it. Where God wanted him to go. It's the call of God for his life. God gave him very specific direction. I wonder how, like Jonah, how many times that God has called others. And they know exactly what God wants them to do. They know exactly who God wants them to go to. They even know the place. It might be work. It might be a neighbor. Maybe some God has called to be a missionary, called to be a preacher or whatever. It can apply in so many areas. But how many times that God has called and God has given not just a call, but a command. He said, arise and go. It's a command. Are we obeying the command? Has God spoken to you before and given you a command that you have not heeded? In verse number 2, Jonah has a very simple choice to make. He hears the word of the Lord. He knows exactly what God wants him to do. He knows exactly where God wants him to go. He knows exactly how God wants him to do it. He said, go and cry against it. You can say, well, they're not going to like it if I preach it that way. But that's how God told him to do it. He said, go and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah has a choice to make. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There's a lot of things I could say here and I want to wrap this up. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There's an amazing thing that happens in verse number 3. And we know the story. And what we do is we listen to this and we think, man, Jonah, what a dummy. What a fool. He ended up in a whale's belly in the bottom of the sea and then getting spit up on shore. I bet that was a lovely moment. With all that was around him, he probably added a little to it. Amen.
I mean, we read that, we think, Jonah, what a dummy. But how many times have we been just like Jonah? And yet we think we have an excuse. You know what Jonah does in verse number 3? This is the Doug Seeley version. God says, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You know what Jonah does in verse 3? He looks at God and he says, no.
You're right.
Jonah said no to God. He said, I'm not going there. I'll go anywhere but there. And he looked and he found another place and said, I think I'll go over there. And he said no to God.
Yes, he did.
But how many times has God told us, God spoken to us, the word of the Lord come to us? How many times have we sat under a message and God spoke to us? And we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. But we said, no. We said, not right now. We said, maybe later. We said, well, Lord, I can't do that. It's all a no. It's no different than what Jonah did. It's no different than his response. Jonah says no to God. It's interesting, two times in the verse it says he went down. It's not a good direction to be going down. Down to Tarshish. Down into the ship. It says he paid the fare thereof. You know what that tells me? It tells me it cost him something to go down and say no to God. And can I tell you something this morning, friend? It will cost you greatly if you say no to God. And here's what's going to happen the next couple days. We're going to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I've been asking God to speak to me.
Yes.
I don't ever want to get to a place where I can sit under the preaching of the Word of God and Him not speak. Some people get there by responding the way Jonah did. My prayer is, Lord, speak to me. And then my prayer is, God, help me to respond.
Yes, sir.
In faith. And do the things that you want me to do.
Amen, preacher.
God may speak to your heart this week and say, you need to get rid of that in your life. You need to get that out of your home. You need to take that off of your phone. You need to stop watching that on television. You need to start reading your Bible. You need to develop a prayer life. You need to start being... I don't know what it is. There's 1,000 things God could speak to us about. But your prayer ought to be, Lord, speak to me. And then your prayer ought to be, God, please help me to yield. And say yes to you. And do what you want me to do. Because here's the danger. Jonah didn't just say no to God. The Bible says he rose up and he fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was in the place where the presence of God was. And the saddest thing that you'll ever see is to see an individual or a family that's in a place where God speaks and where the presence of the Lord is in their lives. But they say no to God over and over and over again. And they go to a place and they run from the presence of the Lord. They're still a child of God, but they're not in the presence of God. And many of them can hardly even hear the voice. But I thank God for His mercy.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 4, that drawing, brother. Verse number 4, but the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the next few verses in the chapter really aren't that good. But it was all orchestrated by God. To take a bratty child, if you will. A rebellious child. A hard-hearted child. One that was running away from Him to get His attention. and draw him back to himself. Why don't you this week, maybe today, just purpose in your heart that when God speaks to you this week, you're going to do what God tells you to do by faith. That you'll yield and just say, Lord, by your grace, with your help, whatever you speak to me about this week, I want to do. Or I at least want to try to do it. And Lord, I want your presence in my life. Lord, I want you to speak to me. God, I want to hear your voice. What's your heart this morning? Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. It's good to hear. It's good to pay attention. It's good to listen. But we need to be willing to do. And we need to take check in our hearts that on the inside we're not saying no to God. Don't pray for somebody else this morning. Pray for yourself. Your heart will be right this week. That your ears and your mind and your heart will be open. And you'll let God speak.
Start to the meeting this week. Appreciate both the preachers so far. Looking forward to what God has in store for us. And I pray that we have a much better response the first time than Jonah did. It's a whole lot easier that way. Doesn't mean the road's going to be easy, but when you're doing it with the presence of God, it'll be easier. Appreciate both messages. We're going to take a 10-minute break and fellowship for a few minutes. And so use the restroom, do what you need to do, fellowship for a few minutes, shake hands with everyone around you. When you hear the piano start back up, choir, come get up here when you hear the piano start back in about 10 minutes. Amen. He's going to play for a second. This is not the choir call.
By His name. Plans to move. Salvation is not real. Though the world may argue that you cannot fail, and even though Satan tries to tell me no, I was there when Jesus saved me, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me. Took away my heavy burdens, and He gave me peace with Him. Saying it can't make me down it, really I'm gonna shout it. For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment He forgave me. He took away my heavy burdens, Lord.
Want to try to be like It's good to know my name is written there. Let's turn to 495 and let's all stand. Brethren, we have met to worship.
morning prepared to worship. You read in the Old Testament all the things they had to do in preparation to come to worship. Feel like maybe if we had to do some of those things before we came to church, we'd take it a little more serious. But I pray that we've come prepared to worship, and we've prayed, and we've asked God to help us, as Brother Seeley mentioned, and we're here to worship God. All right, kids, what time is it? That was weak. Adult, what time is it? Pennies for paces for Papua New Guinea. If you're visiting, the kids are going to come try to get all the loose change you've got in your pocket to help support Pennies for Paces for Papua New Guinea.
Turn to 183. Come and dine.
Amen.
Every time I'm in love.
wine. To the hungry, call it now. Come and dine.
Jesus Christ is made to me. All I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption, full and free. He is all I need. He redeemed me when he died. All I need, all I need, I with him was crucified. He is all I need. On the third, he's the treasure of my soul. All I need, all I need, he hath cleansed and made me whole. He is all I need. On the fourth, Jesus is my all in all. All I need, all I need. While he keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption, full and free. He is all I need. Sing the last with all your God. Glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need, all I need, by his Spirit sealed I am. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption, full and free. He is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need, all I need, by his Spirit sealed I am. He is all I need. With some righteousness and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption, full and free. He is all I need.
Amen. I pray you believe what you just sang. He's all you need. Brother Stephen, you pray and ask the Lord to bless the remainder of our service, if you would, please.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Had a great start to our meeting already today, and we're thanking God for that. Looking forward to the rest of the week. I'm going to try to give the announcements now for the rest of this week. So after service this morning, for all those that are planning on going to the nursing home service, and we invite everybody to go, I would like to have a big crowd go to the nursing home. Our fuel pump is out in our bus right now, so we can't take it, so we'll have to carpool over there. But we'd like to take a big crowd to the nursing home today for the service. Brother Doug Seeley is going to be preaching at the nursing home, and his family is going to be singing for us over there. And man, that nursing home ministry has been a blessing to our church. We go there every Sunday, and we have good services there. And so we're excited about going today. So if you would like to and can, please go and be a part of the services. But right after church this morning, we've got hot dogs, I believe. And what else do we have? Nachos. Hot dogs and nachos. Everybody going to the nursing home, stay and eat with us, and we'll fellowship and eat, and then we'll head over to the nursing home. That service starts at 2:30. It's about 40 to 45 minute drive over there, and we're there usually from 2:30 to about 3:30, and then we'll come back here and have church at 5 o'clock this evening. And so we're looking forward to that. Brother Joe Coley will be preaching for us tonight, and also Brother Daniel Waters will be here preaching tonight. So we're looking forward to that service as well. And then tomorrow, there's nothing during the day, but if you're available to help, we have to transition from, this is the only thing we're transitioning on, is borrowing a church over there. I don't even like that word, amen? We're borrowing the church, and so we're going to move some stuff over there. And so we're going to need some help, and I've had people say, you know, what all can we do? I don't know yet. So we just need to pick a time to be here, and we'll try to start moving things over. So we're probably going to meet here about 9 o'clock in the morning. There may be some that come a little earlier. And we move our kitchen over there, and that way we're using our things. That if we have, so if we break them, it's ours and not theirs. But we have full use of their facility. But then we go over there, and we try to get it set up for us to have church. I'm very thankful that the Nazarene Church lets us use their building. It's a great building. And they have a policy that no one outside of the Nazarene organization can use their building. That's their policy. But I went over there, knocked on the door one day, and just said, hey, can we have camp meeting here? And she said, where's your church? So I told her, and I said, White Oak. And she said, is that the church up on the hill? She said, did that used to be Zola Baptist? I said, it did. Years ago, it was Zola Baptist. They closed their doors. They gave the building to us. We started this church 9 years ago this week. We started this church. And so I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, we have a policy that if you're not in this organization, you cannot use our facilities. And they got a bit of rules right up on those on the thing. And she said, but our church burnt down about 10 years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago. There was a string of arsons going on in all over where people were burning churches down. I don't know if y'all remember hearing about that. It was all over the place. And theirs is one of them that got burned down. And she said for 6 months, Zola Baptist let us use their facilities in the afternoons to have church services. You can use this building anytime you want to. So we're thankful for it. And so we're going to move over there tomorrow. So if you're able to, we'll meet here about 9, and we'll try to get it done. And whoever is here, we'll try to provide lunch. Don't get too excited. It's probably just going to be pizza. But if you can come help, we'll do that. We're going to try to get them moved over so everybody can get back to their place of rest for a little while before service starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Each night at 5 o'clock, we're going to have choir practice for a combined choir. And anybody that wants to sing in the choir can come sing in the choir. We might stick you in the back row, but you can come sing in the choir. Anybody that wants to. And so I encourage you to please come and sing in that choir, all right? And so 5 o'clock, we'll have practice each and every night. And then the choir will sing one or two songs every night at camp meeting this week. So we'll start church at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then Tuesday through Thursday, we'll start at 9:30 in the morning service. We'll go till about 1 o'clock. We're going to feed a really big lunch. And then we'll start back that night at 5 with choir practice and service at 6. And we'll have that scheduled the rest of the week. And we got a lot more folks coming in this afternoon and tomorrow. And we're just honored that anybody would come And thank God for it. But we're looking forward to hearing from heaven. More than anything, I want God to be pleased, magnified, and lifted up. If that happens, we'll get the help that we need. And so I'm very, very excited to have those that even came in early to be with us today. We're looking forward to a good week meeting with the Lord. All right, I think that's about all the announcements that I have for right now. Did you have any instruction for any of our ladies? Or
I've passed out.
You've already taken care of. Okay. Oh, she's on the ball. Amen. All right. Well, let's do this now. Let's get all the kids to bring their Bibles. And we do this every Sunday before preaching time. We're getting ready for preaching time here in just a second. So let's get all the kids to bring their Bibles. We're going to do the B-I-B-L-E. Then after that, my kids are going to sing a song or two. And we'll get started. Brother Doug, your family's going to sing tonight. Start us off tonight. Come on, Titus. Are you Titus or Hudson? Which one's Titus? Titus. Come on, Hudson. Hey, you're all right. You can stay singing with them. All right, y'all ready? Hey, we got visitors. Sing really loud, okay? Y'all sing loud for the visitors? Sing. All right, here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, God's Word for you and me. I read and pray and then obey the B-I-B-L-E Bible. All right, adults, you get your Bibles out and sing with us and show the kids you're just as excited about the Word of God preaching as they ought to be. Amen. Be an example. Here we go. The B-I-B. I can't hear you, adults. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, God's Word for you and me. I read and pray and then obey the B-I-B-L-E Bible. Great job. All right, go have a seat with a responsible adult. You say, who's responsible? We'll find out by the end of the service. Amen. All right, I'm going to get my kids. They're going to come sing a couple songs for us. And after that, Brother Gresham's going to come. Brother Gresham has been a dear friend of our family for a long time. I practically grew up in his house. I'm thankful for him. And he preached the very first Soak in the Fire revival before it transitioned to... No, there goes transition again. But before it morphed into a camp meeting or whatever. And that tree out there, Brother Joe, it's alive and well. That white oak tree, Brother Gresham helped us plant that tree our first year anniversary. The white oak tree that's out there on that hill. And I thank God for him. And he's going to preach to us this morning. So get your Bibles ready. And they're going to sing and then he's going to come.
To the angel, I won't let you go till a blessing from you I've received. Then he asked, what's your name? I recalled my brother's blessing that I'd stolen when my father I deceived. Are you as I stood there in my clever disguise? To the angel when I cried out, I am Jacob, that he would bless me. He forever changed my name and my life.
He changed my life. On the road to Damascus, in the middle of the day, there shone a light from heaven brighter than the sun. Then a voice called my name, and I said, who could this be? When the answer came, I knew what I had done. It was against this very name I did everything I could. He said, I'm Jesus, the one you persecute. Undeserving of such mercy, I became his chosen vessel to reveal to all the world his grace and truth.
He changed my life.
Thankfully changed my life. Amen. Brother Gresham's going to come. And one other announcement I forgot. It sure is good to have Brother Jeremy and his wife back with us. Amen. They've been traveling for work for a while, and good to have them back here with us this week, and we miss them greatly. And Sister Pam, if she's watching, we miss her greatly too. I'm praying she gets back to us quickly. She has had a couple pretty major surgeries, and so... And for those that have had to sit at home and watch service, it's not the same. But thank the Lord we have the ability to be able to minister to you at home. And I saw something, a pastor that I know of posted something just this past week. He's like, hey, if you're our online campus, is what these big churches call it. He's like, you ought to get up, put a suit and tie on if you're going to watch from the couch anyway, amen, and dress up. And be a part of the service. But there's nothing like being here together, unity in a church. And we understand that sometimes sickness and things like that. Sister Tisa, we miss her this morning. Praying for her that God would continue to help her dealing with that cancer she has. I know she's watching this morning as well. And I know she would give anything to be here. So you pray for her as well. And we miss those folks, but it's good to be here this morning. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen or oh me. You help the preacher out this morning.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. I want to say, first of all, I'm glad to be anywhere. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Glad that my wife was able to come and be with me this time. And I'm really glad when the Lord allows her to be able to come. Amen. He said, well, why doesn't she come? Well, she runs a home daycare, and we're slowly working our way out of that. And so I'm thankful I've got one of my daughters helps take care of that while we're away. And so we just thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate God's traveling mercies. Amen.
Amen.
Coming down is all that. Also good to have Brother Smith. Why don't you go ahead and stand real quick. This is Brother Jim Smith. He's a member of a church. He's Lord's called him into evangelism.
Amen.
And so just pray for him and for any of the preachers. Anybody needs somebody to be a blessing. Brother Jim will be a blessing. Amen. And we appreciate God's goodness to us. And appreciate your prayers for us. We've kind of outgrown where we're at, and so we're praying. There's been two different situations that have come up, so we're just praying, asking God for help either direction. And one requires a whole lot more money than we have, and the other one requires a whole lot of work and money. And so, just saying, it's the way it works, amen? But and the thing is, I thank God with our church, our men, and the ladies as well, they're not afraid of work. So that's never really an issue there. But you said, which is the better one? The better one is where God wants us. So that's our prayer. God, put us where you want us. And whatever we got to do there, we'll be. Is that, I don't want to be a Jonah.
Right.
Amen. Because Whale University is a hard place to go.
Right.
Amen. I'm just saying, I'd rather avoid that at all costs. Amen. But I want to thank the Lord. I thank you for praying. Some folks have asked about my health. Thank the Lord for some that didn't know. A couple years ago, had cancer. They did surgery, took it out. And I did not go through the whole chemo routine because there wasn't anything left to chemo. They just said, do it just in case. And I just had a problem with just in cases. Amen. So I've been dealing with it nutritionally. And just about a month and a half or so ago, had my latest CT scans, blood work, and everything came out fine. And so I'm just thankful to God. Amen. And, you know, when a preacher is talking about going through things, you know, this particular event in my life, God gave me perfect peace. That it didn't matter how it was going to go. And people say, were you afraid of dying? I'm not afraid of dying. Now, the process concerns me. I'm just saying, the process concerns me. The actual death, what have I got to look? Man, I got everything to gain with that, amen? But the Lord just gave peace that I've got this. And it's like, aren't you worried? I'm really not. And somebody's like, we're getting checkup. What if they find something? Well, then I'll deal with it. You know, that's what life's all about. You deal with each thing that comes at you each day. Amen? You have no control over anything that happens to you. The only control you have is how you respond to what happens to you. Amen? All right, so one time, listen, I appreciate the message we've heard already, and they really kind of set things up to help me out a little bit too, I think. So I get when the Lord puts things together, and I just try to pay attention. Amen? So if I drop the ball, it wasn't God's fault. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 20, look at verse 21. The Bible says, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. You know, it's kind of like the devil. You know, the devil sometimes will give you the blues over something. You'll get victory over it. And you're like, man, I'm glad that's over. But the thing you got to remember, he'll be back.
Right.
He'll be back. So, man, I went through this trial and everything was good. That doesn't mean they're all over. But you notice what he said there, strengthen thyself, mark, and see what thou doest. In other words, be prepared for the next one.
Right.
Be prepared for the next one, because there's always going to be a next one. Amen? And you'll get that as you grow in the Lord. Amen? And he says, verse 23, and the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto the voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek and fought against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. I think that's what you call outnumbered.
Yeah, right.
Amen? Seriously, outnumbered. Now verse 28 says, there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know what they did? They called in question God's ability to take care of the situation. They said, now, hey, you know, in the mountains, man, okay, but down there, man, if I... And they were vastly outnumbered, the children of Israel. The children of Israel, I'm sure they kind of looked around and like, well, we really need God now. And God sent the man of God and said, King said, now listen, because they said, I can't handle this job, I'm going to take care of things for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of things for you. Now, the thing is, the Lord's testimony is at stake. I have a question for you. Is the God of the mountain the same God in the valley?
Yes, sir.
He delivered them, from the mountain, didn't he? Now it's time for the valley. Is the God of the mountain still the same God in the valley? Amen. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 45. Title of the message is Victory in the Valley.
Amen.
Victory in the Valley. And listen, if you live your life as a Christian, can I tell you, you're going to spend the most of your time in the plains, the valley. You look at our country and understand you go through some of the hills and all that. But how many folks live in the areas of the hill versus how many live in the plains, in the areas where the water flows in the valleys? Where are the crops? Where is the greatest produce and everything done? It's not done in the mountains. Now you go and travel down through the mountains and travel a little bit through the country, you get in the mountains. Now you'll see a couple of places where folks have been able to maybe get some stuff going up there. You'll see some cattle and you know, you'll see things around there. But man, all of a sudden you travel, especially going down, and we'll go down to North Carolina, go to our place, go down through the mountains area. And you know what's interesting is you go through, you see a little spotty stuff here, and then you'll come to a wide spot. You'll see a big valley, and the place is just packed full of buildings and everything, industry, everything, all around with that river. Amen. And then you'll see the crops lined up. You know where they're at? They're not on the mountaintop. You can get a little bit done on the mountaintop. The biggest time you're going to spend your time in this life down here is going to be through the plains. Amen? Amen? I say, listen, we all love mountaintops. Amen? We're singing them songs. It's like, whoo, man, I love the mountaintop too. You shout a lot at the mountaintop, but you don't get a lot done on the mountaintop.
Right.
Genesis chapter 45, look at verse 4. And these are stories you're familiar with, so I hope just try to encourage you to think about some of these things as you read your Bible. It says in Genesis 45:4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, you all know the story, what his brothers did to him and everything he's been through. What do you think their first thing was when he said, I'm Joseph, your brother? Kind of uh-oh comes right to mind, don't it? Because you know what? They never forgot what they did to him. And they never forgot what they did to their dad. You know they lied to their dad. Their dad all this time believes that he got chewed up, spit out by some beast. And they fostered that and allowed that to go for all these years. And then all of a sudden, there he is. And now it's not just his brother, that he's their brother. He's second only to Pharaoh. And has charge over everything. Amen? Now look what he says. Verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. And they were. He would have told them not to do it. He said that you sold me hither. Now look at this. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are 5 years in which there shall neither be hearing nor harvest. Now look at this. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it's not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, which was prime land. They sent him down to the ghettos. We're talking about the prime land for their cattle, for everything that they needed. They were in the best land. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And think about it. Joseph's life at this time was one of valleys. I know it's a pretty big valley when your brothers sell you into slavery. Sold him off, just like some slave peasant, got rid of him.
And then he's doing pretty good. Because you know the thing about Joseph, listen to me, you know the thing about Joseph is, all through that story, God is with him. Christian, you know what? No matter what valley you're going through, God's always with you. He's with you all the way through that.
Right.
So he goes there and he's doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden what? He has a wicked woman lie about him. Right? Thrown into jail. He didn't do anything wrong for his brothers to throw him in the pit. He didn't do anything wrong with this woman. In fact, he did exactly what he should have done. He fled when he should have fled. He didn't give in to temptation. So he goes off, and now what? Now he's locked up. But see, when God's with you, He'll even take those times when you're having a hard time, and He still bless you in the midst of those things, and now all of a sudden, He's the head trustee in the jail.
Yes, sir.
The jailer's like, dude, this guy, everything this guy touches, man, it's, as we say, it turns to gold. I'm keeping him in charge here. He's the head trustee. And then here come the baker and the butler. Boom. Dropped in there. Let me ask you something. If Joseph had been put in any other jail, would he have been in a place where he would be prepared to be in front of Pharaoh? So he had to be in that particular jail. Around those particular people. Listen to me. You and I got to wrap our head around. Our God is much bigger than we are. He's got everything set up in a much better way than you and I could ever do on our own. He knows the end from the beginning. The question for us is, are you willing to trust Him regardless of what it looks like in the moment? Because now here he goes along, and what happens? He interprets the dream, so the baker and the butler, baker, not good news. Butler, hey, I got some good news for you. You're going to be restored. Well, wouldn't it have been a bummer to be the baker at that moment? Dude, man, why him and not me? Christian, how come brother and sister so-and-so, they never have happened to them like I have happened to me? Right? So just Joseph says, he says, hey buddy, now, the guy did that drink for you, now, don't forget me, okay? You remember me. He always said, oh, I got you back, buddy. 2 years later, I don't know about you, but hey, in that period of time, about probably a month later, I'd be like, dude, hello, I said, remember me? And you said you would. 6 months go by. A year goes by. A year and a half. Giving up this 2 years. But you know what I know about Joseph? Joseph just walked with God. And he's, well, Lord, I guess he forgot, but Lord, I know you didn't forget. You know what you got to remember? God doesn't forget. God knows exactly. And then all of a sudden, you say, well, why did it take 2 years? Because Pharaoh hadn't dreamed yet. Pharaoh had to dream first before he could interpret the dream. Pharaoh has a dream. We have Joseph. And guess what? There he is. And Joseph, he goes up there just to obey God and said, well, all right, here's your dream. This is what's going to happen. He did his job. Pharaoh looks down and says, yeah, you're right. I need to find somebody. You're it. Me? Yeah. He didn't see that coming, I guarantee you. You don't know what God's going to do. The preacher's telling his story there. What God's doing with him right now is what God needs for him to do right now. What he was doing before is what God needed to do then. But God said, but listen, in order to get you to do this over here, I've got to touch you here. And when I touch you here, it's to prepare you for here. The sooner you submit to that He's in control, the less time you have to spend on the pity party.
Right.
But what you eventually realize is, I don't want to have a pity party, God. I want to be submitted to You because there's still victory in the valley.
Amen.
Job is another person. When you look at Job, I mean, what happened? Job's doing fine. He's doing great, right? He's got a great relationship with God as far as he knows. Now, here's the thing about you and I. God knows our heart. And you know, the preacher said, he said, yeah, I began to take the glory for what God was allowing me to do. Was his talent a bad thing to have? No. But you and I, if we're not careful,
our flesh will get in the way.
Right.
And what God has to do for us is bring us to a place where our trust is not in our flesh, our skills and our abilities, but in our God. And once we come to the place we realize that what we have is because of our God and what He is doing, then when God gets the glory, because God shares His glory with no man.
Right.
And that's a lesson that we have to learn, and that's the hard part about youth. Because youth is, look what I can do. But after a while, you go through some of the valleys, you realize, hey, it isn't about me at all.
Right.
It's not about my skills, my abilities, my talents, my looks. It's not about any of that, because every bit of that can be taken away in a moment. It's about Him. It's about Him. And that's the process that we have. And Job is doing everything right as far as he knows. Now, God knows there's a problem with Job, but it's between Job and God, not everybody else. But Job has to go through what he has to go through to get to the place by the end of the book when he says, I abhor myself. When God starts going, so where were you when?
Right.
When you and I think we're somebody, God can just step up and say, well, where were you when?
Right.
And then we realize, compared to God, we are nobodies, nothings. And it ought to be a privilege and honor for us to allow God to use us in any fashion that He can. But sometimes we've got to go through those valleys, because in the Christian life, there's a process. God calls, He develops, and then He fulfills. And most of the developing is in the valleys. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want to try to encourage you that wherever you are, listen, everybody's going through valleys. They always say, you know, it's like we call them storms in the life. Amen? Listen, if you're not in a storm, you're getting ready to go into one. If you're in one, then you get through that one and you're coming out of one. Amen? There's that process that works in our life. It's just a matter of how much time before the next one.
Right.
But Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Let me stop right here. How many times, some of you, you've been around somebody, especially a baby Christian, and they're going through things, and they're saying, I'm praying for patience. And everybody goes, ah, no. Don't pray for patience. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. Right? And they're just looking at you like, but I need patience. I know. But you don't understand the process. But the Bible says to let patience have her perfect work. So we have patience. And he said, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. God is working in your life spiritually to produce Christ in you to do His will. The hardest part is when things happen like, well, I don't know why God let that happen to me. But you're different than everybody else. You're more special than everybody else. We think so. We do. You don't think you're as bad as anybody else. Oh, man, there's a big old stump. I need a piece of dynamite right here. Here's the bottom line is we think we're doing really good because of who we are and what we do, instead of realizing it's only by the grace and mercy of God that you are where you are right at this very moment in time. Because we talks about praying and stuff like that. It's not about somebody else. It's about you. The Christian life is about mirrors, not windows. Windows when you look out what everybody else is doing. Oh, yeah, look at them there. These guys, this. Oh, they need this. They need this. This mirror is it's you.
Right.
And the biggest problem you have is you.
Right.
You're going, oh, no, wait a minute. My spouse, no. They're not your biggest problem. Because I guarantee you deal with what you see in the mirror, it might change all those other things you're facing.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I look in the mirror and I'm like, dude, man, I don't know how God gets anything done. Amen. I mean, you ever stop and realize that, how pitiful it is what He's got to work with, a bunch of animated dirt balls? He knows our frame. He looks down. Oh, man. They're dirt balls. There they go again. Okay. Look, all this stuff I've done for them. Now they're taking credit for it. They haven't thanked me for nothing. I've given all these blessings. Listen, I never hear him say thank you. Amen. 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 Oh, man. I saved them from this year. You know, coming down yesterday, It's about an 8-hour drive or so, which is, that's not too hateful. But I was coming down, and my wife was doing her part. She was sleeping while I was driving. And so, as soon as you start, the car goes like this. Yep, we're ready. So anyhow, I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, I see all these lights and everything over here on this side. And an ambulance went flying down. We was in slow traffic. What it was is because our side got turned down to one lane. But I got down to the other side, and man, there was a bad accident. If anybody lived through that, I'd be amazed. I'll just say that. Those cars were crunched up serious. Went by there, and then as I tried by, you know what? The traffic was backed up. Backed up. I'm talking about for at least 2 or 3 miles backed up on the highway. And as I got further along, Brother Charlie, I saw some cars coming, and you know what? They have no idea what's up ahead. They don't understand there's a traffic jam, but they're fixing to be in it for a spell. You know what? But you know what? I looked at that and I said, Lord, that's just like this whole thing with the valleys. Man, you're driving along in life and you feel like everything's going really good and all of a sudden you see brake lights and you slow down. Man, don't they know I got places to go? I'm going to be late. There's this, there's this, there's this. And you're getting there and you're not going anywhere. There ain't an exit for miles. You ain't going anywhere. You hope you got enough gas to make it after everything clears. And you're sitting there and you're asking God, why? 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 I'm stuck. I feel like I'm not moving on that. God said, well, 2 things. Number one, it's not a mistake that you're here. I got you here for a reason. Maybe you just need to talk to me a little bit. And number two, maybe I prevented you from being the one up here from that other driver that turned wrong or did whatever they did. And you know what? You could be on your way to the hospital right now, or you might be on the road to the morgue right now. But instead of just saying, well, here we are. And I'm driving along, and I'm like, well, Lord, I don't know what's going on up there, because I couldn't tell why, but once I got up there, I started doing it. I said, Lord, I don't know about them folks, but God, I pray they're all right. God, I pray they make it to the hospital in time. Lord, would you have mercy on them? And I'm praying for them. And I said, oh, and for these people here. You see people out of their car, they're standing there looking. Isn't that funny, though? It's miles ahead, and you're doing this. You can't see nothing anyhow, but you feel like you still got to look. That's how we are spiritually. Why do you stop us here? Why are we stuck right here? What are you trying to do? Did you ever ask? You ever said, Lord, what's going on here? He might just tell you. He might just say, well, this is why you're here. I'm trying to do something. I maybe save you. I'm going to be amazed if the Lord, I don't know if the Lord's going to do it or not. People talking about he's going to show you your life and all that there. And you hear people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. All I figure is once I get there, I'm going to be so happy to be there. I could care less about anything else. Amen? Not that I'm worried about whether I'm going or not, but just like, this is everything and more that I ever dreamed. Right. Brand new body, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. Hallelujah. I don't have to put up with me anymore. Glory to God. Amen. And then live forever with Jesus Christ. Are we going to fish in heaven? Really? Who cares? But it'd be interesting if the Lord said, listen, just so you know how much I took care of you, I want you to see right here, you could have died. There was an accident there. But you know what? You were running a few minutes late because of this or that. And I made that happen because I didn't want you to be in that wreck. There's this thing happened here. And I allowed this to happen because if you would have been here there, that would have happened. If you'd have been there, this would have happened. If you would have had your way, this is what would have happened. Listen to me. I don't know what valley you're in. Everybody's going to be in one. But where are you at this morning? Yeah. I love what the preacher said. Listen, it's what's going on in here that makes a difference. Because we all know how to do this. How you doing? Right. Everything's good, preacher. God bless you. And inside I'm going, if anybody asks me one more time how I'm doing, I'm going to, hi, brother. Amen. We know how to come into church. God bless you, brother. Amen. Woo! Love this thing. Amen. And you argue with your wife all the way to church. Bless God, that woman. You should get right with God. Oh, hi, brother. How you doing? Great. You faker. You know what the problem is? Listen to me. You know what the problem is? You think nobody else knows. Oh, boy, there's a tough spot. You know, the thing about it is, there's some of us know exactly what's going on. Because it's written all over you and your countenance. You're not hiding it as well as you think you are. We try to get pretty good at it. But you're not.
And I watch people under conviction, under conviction, under conviction, under conviction, and they don't budge, and they stay miserable. But after the service, they'll come back, well, hi, brother. God bless, a really good message. I'm going to say, then why weren't you on the altar? And some of you are that way this morning. Why? It's all written right here. Amen. I really am trying to help you. Amen. Because listen, the sooner you deal with your heart and make that right with God, and deal with whatever that situation is, the more joy you'll have in your life. You don't believe what you're missing. You say, well, why do you seem happy most of the time? Well, most of the time I am happy because I am happy. Does that mean they're trials? I'm not talking about trials. I'm talking about learning to say, God, this is, you got to do this. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to matter what I do. God, you got to do this. So, God, I'm giving it to you. It's yours. I'm going to go ahead and go about my day. Lord, you go ahead and take care of that. So that's a real cavalier attitude. No, that's what trust is.
Amen.
He either has it or he doesn't. Listen, he's either God or he's not.
Right.
I turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Remember, I already told you there's a process here. And we saw part of that process in Romans chapter 5. In addition to that, I want you to see these things here that goes on in our life that the Lord expects us to add on to these things as we grow as a Christian. And through that process, 2 Peter 1, 5 said, beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's a process. As you add and take those steps, then God begins to bless you and you grow in those steps. That's called growing as a Christian.
Right.
Those things develop you. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Look in verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I want you to see that it's God that does a work in us. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun what? A good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Listen, if you want to serve him, a servant is the one that submits themselves to the will of the master to do what the master wants done. So when I come to God and I say, Lord, I want you to use me in your life, he says, well, I'm going to use you for my good pleasure, but there's some things that have got change in order for me to be able to use you. Like the potter with the clay. The potter has to mold and make that vessel what he wants. We don't come in and say, well, I want to be a vase. I'm going to hold pretty flowers. It's like, no, I need you to be a cup. I don't want to be a cup. I want to be a vase. I want to be a pretty plate. I want to be a pretty plate. I need you to be a cup. You know, it's better to say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. The Lord said, I need you to be a cup. Yes, sir. If that's what you need, I'll be the best cup you ever had. Amen? I'll be the best cup you ever wanted me to be. Lord, I'm going to bring honor to you as a cup. Amen. Look, well, Romans chapter 8, we know the verse says, we know that all things work together for them. Way ahead of myself. Let me try it again. My mom's in heaven. I know she's looking down and going, watch this. I'm going to really mess with him. He's making it all tongue-tied. Said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Like the potter working with the clay, he's always working on us. And to conform us to the image of his Son. We learned in Sunday school, we're sons of God. We're children of God. Amen? That's my identity. And now he says, okay, yeah, now you're my son. But what did Jesus Christ have to say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. It wasn't possible. Or you and I'd be lost forever. But he said, what? But not my will. But what? Thy will. You know what our problem is? Jonah? But go this way. I said, oh, you've enrolled at Will University. Only you're going to go down here. You know what the sad part about Jonah is? God spit him out. He went and he delivered the message just like God told him to do, which he should have done the first time. But he goes and does it. And then you know what? He doesn't like the results because he didn't believe that Nineveh should have been given the chance they were. Nineveh was exceedingly wicked. They were the enemies of Israel. By all measure, God could have just destroyed them at any time and been completely justified, but he gave one more chance. You know what Jonah said? I knew if I had preached to them, if they would have repented, you'd forgive them. And they repented! Why'd you give them another chance? Let me ask you this. Why'd he give you another chance? And Jonah finishes the story as a bitter prophet with suicidal tendencies. You know, he said, I don't like how this went. Some of your battle's going to be, it ain't about what you think how it ought to go. When you get angry, well, God, I think this, I think that. God said, listen, you're the clay. Listen, can I say this? Listen, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what you go through. God is not going to hurt you. He's only trying to help you to get to the place where you understand what the preacher, who you are and how blessed you are to be used by God and the blessing that God wants to give you. And here's the thing, is if you'll obey Him, He's going to reward you eternally for it. There's victory in the valleys. You know, God called David, but he was chased by Saul, lived in caves, lived a life on the run. The Lord still put him on the throne, didn't He? David said in Psalm 109, he says, but do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh fail of fatness. I become also reproaching with them. When they look upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God, who saved me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord. You know what the Bible tells us in Ezra chapter 9, verse 13, says God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Do you realize God's a God of mercy? God's a God of mercy. Amen? Now, for the sake of time, there's a time when Elisha, the king of the Syrians, is surrounding them all, and the servant of Elisha, he says, alas, my master, how should we do? He said, why? Because they're surrounded. You know, Elisha says in 2 Kings chapter 6, he said, they answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prays, said, Lord, I pray that he open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, and about Elisha. And the Bible says, he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's a young man, listen to me now. There's a young man that looks out, and he sees the circumstance. Toast. How are we going to get through this? How many times have you and I, things happen, like, I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how we're going to make it. How's this going to work? Like the preacher said, we ask why. Are we asking why because we really want to trust Him with the answer? Are we just going to question everything He says? Servant, let's try. It's like, there's no way. We are so outnumbered. There is no way we're going to survive this. Then Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Wow! Chariots of fire. He didn't say just regular chariots. He looked around. You know what he knew right then? Yeah, Elisha, we're okay. they that are with us are more than those that are against us. You realize that God is with you. You're saved. Now listen, if you're not saved in here, you're on your own. You need Christ as your Savior. All right, that's an easy one there. Listen, if you're a child of God, God has everything under control and is conforming you to the image of His Son. His Son with His desire to do the will of His Father and bring honor and glory to Him. That process involves valley. There is victory in the valley. Christian, what valley are you in right now? Where are you right now, honestly? Not what you want to do. He just said it's been 10 years. I'm tired of being in that place. I guarantee you, God's doing more spiritual with him and through him than I was in him. I'm not saying it was to my duty. We're on the same wavelength right there. We're just praising the Lord. Because sometimes I'll preach myself and make my father go again. I'm saying, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. I don't want to get that place where I think it's me. Because I know that road of the prodigal. That's a bad road. I've been down that road. That's a bit of time in my life. I'm not going to tell you any details. I'm going to tell you a bit of time when I was in that place. I know what it's like to be eaten with pigs. It's not a good time. I know it's like to go through hard times. I know what it's like to be stabbed in the back and all the kind of stuff that happens. Some of you might be bitter this morning because of how Christian preached tonight. But here's the thing about Christians. They're the greatest people on the planet and also the meanest when they're back to them. They're the meanest group of people on this planet. And they're not right with God, just like you. Our problem is we got to look at what this is over here. Maybe this is wrong. Stop, stop, stop. Huh? People ask me, these people did something. Listen, God is my witness right now. I'm not holding any bitterness against anybody. Because I turned them over to God. And I just said, well, I just had to get the place where I said, God, you've got to take care of it. I can't do this. I can't carry this burden. I can't carry this burden. This is going to eat me up. What I've got to do is I've got to say, God, you're your children. You claim to be. If they're your children, they're your responsibility, but they're not mine. Mine is just to keep on living for you, being submitted to you, and doing what you've called me to do. And God, you're going to have to take care of the rest. And if they come back and say, hey, I'm sorry, great. If they don't, then that's between them and God. I'm going to go on with God's help and serve Him, doing what He called me to do, the best I that God gives me the ability to do, until He says, your race is run, it's time to come home. And I'm hoping that that's the call that all of us get at the same time, and that trumpet sounds, we'll all get out of here. And that sounds good, but listen, we're not out of here yet. So where are you right now? You'll see God do something this week, I'm going to tell you where it starts. God doing something this week starts with this service this morning. These two messages we've already heard, and this message here is ground zero. You want to see God do something? If you don't start responding now, it's going to be really hard for you to respond out, because the less you respond, the harder your heart gets. God wants you tender right where you are, she's a preacher. But this really bothers me. God just says, hey, listen, here's an altar. You come to the altar and you make it right with God. You say, well, you know, I'm not sure. Hey, grab one of our hands. I'll be happy to pray with you. Listen, we're all the same together. We're not against one another. We're all on the same side. Amen. We ought to want to make sure. One thing I learned in the military is the guy next to you, you want him to be as strong as you are because he's got to have your back. You have each other's back because we're on the same side. We're on the same side this morning. What about you? How is it really? I'm not talking about the plastic, everything's okay. I tell you, sometimes it'd help you to be honest. If he came up to me and said, how you doing? And I said, you know what? I'm having a bad day. I'm having a hard time, preacher. Really? Can we pray about you? Let's pray about you. He didn't have no details. No, I need some prayer. You know what keeps us from doing that? Our pride. Our pride will keep us in our chair. Pride's the Velcro that keeps you stuck in the chair. We don't want to admit it. I've learned a long time ago. People said, oh, I want to talk to so-and-so. Find out your problems. I'll do it. How much paper you got? That's on time. I can tell you all kinds of stuff. You want dirt. Animated dirt balls. Saved by the grace of God. God has helped me through a lot of different things. I have not arrived. The only time I've ever arrived is sometimes I get a place my GPS to have arrived. And usually when it tells me that, I'm in the middle of the field going, I don't even see where I'm supposed to be. You arrive? No. I arrive? No. not by any stretch. What are you going to do with what you have heard this morning? What did God, not just for the preacher, but what did the Holy Spirit point to you in your heart and say, hey, what that preacher said, what they said in the Sunday school, these other men of God said, God's working. Listen, I don't have any doubt the way He orchestrated everything this morning. He put it on God. That was Him. Was none of us ever talked to one another. What are we going to do about it? Do we really want to see God working in our life? I'm not talking about called to preach. I'm talking about God working in my life. Where I am. Your house. Remember the cemetery? I'm willing to do that this morning. I've asked a sister to sing a song for us this morning, and so she's going to sing the song. Listen, the invitation is real simple. It's all standing. I want you to understand something. That God, listen, God wants to work. And all I know is this. If God spoke to your heart, we don't need 20 verses of Just As I Am. We don't need her to sing it 50 times. If we don't sit around, listen, I know God's working right now. Just come. Come on, sis, you go ahead. Just come. Come on.
Said he is, or he's the biggest fraud that ever lived. And I believe he is who he said he is. Amen. Well, Brother Gresham said, you either trust him, just trust him. Appreciate the messages, all of them this morning. What a wonderful start. I appreciate these preachers obeying God. We're looking forward to this afternoon. You are going to the nursing home service. It might take just a minute to get the food set up, but while they're doing that, Brother Bobby, raise your hand, Brother Bobby. He's going to be in the back corner back here in the fellowship hall here in just a moment. There's a table back there where the audio stuff is, but we have all that taken down. But if you're going to the nursing home, please don't have him come look for you. You go back there to him, and we have to check your temperature and sign you in. We do it here and take the paperwork with us. That way we don't have to do it when we get to the nursing home. So please, if you're going to go sometime before we start the meal, if you would, go back there and see him and get signed in for the nursing home. And anybody and everybody that wants to go, we'd like you to go. Be a part of the service. And it'll be exciting for those folks for us to bring a big crowd in. I don't know if they're ready for us or not, but we're going to come. And it'll be exciting for them. And Brother Doug will have a few more folks to preach to. And so we're excited about going over there. So please go if you can. I'll get you directions if you need them. I wish we could take the bus, but right now it's down. So we'll carpool over there, all right? And I want to take these messages and do all three messages. We're preparing our hearts for what God has in store this week. I'm thankful for it. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Martin if he would dismiss in prayer and ask the Lord to go ahead and pray for our lunch and ask him to bless it. That way when it's ready, when the ladies say it's ready, we'll get started.